May the words I speak and the words you hear be the word of God to us. Amen. Anyone, including you, who has learnt or is learning the basics of the Christian faith will have been taken through, if you follow the church's year, through the whole story until we get to the great Easter day. And our imaginary inquirer might well then ask, well, what happened next? The few Sundays that we have after Easter always have a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, because in the Acts of the Apostles we learn what happened next. And of course the Acts of the Apostles is so called because they tell the story of how the good news was taken throughout the world, the good news of the resurrection. And at every turn we meet all sorts of people from everyday life who come out of the woodwork and stand for a while in the floodlight of Christian history, and then they disappear again, but hopefully not to be forgotten. And we have one such character today, one such example, where we find Paul on his second missionary journey reaching Philippi, a significant place, by the way, for all of us, as it was at this point in the story that the gospel reached Europe. And in today's story, we meet a woman who was in the fashion business. We meet Lydia, a seller of purple, we're told, a purple cloth, quite a precious cloth. And Paul and the friend and his friends met her. And we're told two things about her. First of all, she worked hard and she worshipped God. Indirectly, the context of the story tells us some other things. She was a Jew, she was married, and she had a large family. She was probably well educated, at any rate educated enough to know the system of buying and selling and the attendant taxes you had to pay. She was industrious. And she was open to ideas. There were many in that world, in the Greco-Roman world in which she lived, who went around with ideas, but we do not get the impression that she was gullible, swallowing every new idea as it came along. Especially her Jewish faith was open to the promise of the longed-for Messiah that the prophets had foretold. She seemed to have combined her working life with a good discipline of worship and prayer, because Paul and his friends met her at a place of prayer. And as she sat and intently listened to the story of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, the Spirit of God at work in Paul and in her produced that conviction which identified her deeper need of a God who forgives and brings new life. And I'm quite sure that it was Paul's personal testimony, perhaps more than his theological arguments, that brought her to a new faith in her Saviour and Lord. Luke underlines that such testimony is truly a witness to the action of God, who opens hearts to receive his word. And soon we read her household were discovering this new relationship with Jesus, and all of them were baptized. And her newfound faith had immediate consequences, because it made made her more aware of the needs of others, and in particular the needs of Paul and his party for a place to stay for a night or two. And so they were invited to come to Lydia's house and find a space. And then something quite odd happens, or she says something quite odd. "Come to my house, but only if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." I'm not quite sure. Was this some slightly tongue-in-cheek, friendly persuasion to get the apostles to stay? Or was it that she would feel it an honour to welcome the very people whom God had led her to? Or was it that Lydia needed some genuine affirmation of her new Christian faith? Probably a mixture of all those. And certainly she needed some reassurance that she'd been accepted as a true believer, and that reassurance would only come by her offer of hospitality being accepted. Lydia. And then if we quickly turn to the gospel reading that we had just now, because this gospel reading provides a wonderful illustration of Lydia's story. Jesus is reassuring his disciples before the crucifixion, and he says two things. First of all, the response of a loving heart to his love will lead to him coming to make his home with us and live in us. Lydia is an example as she opened her heart and her home, and the living Lord comes in and changes her life and the lives of her household. And secondly, Jesus says that he will send the Spirit who will teach you all things and remind you of everything he has said. And that promise, worked out in Paul and others, and the story of it all is in the Acts of the Apostles. So what can we take from these two readings today? I wonder whether you noticed one simple four-letter word that came at least three times in the two readings. It is the word "come." First of all, there was the angel who gave Paul a vision to come to Macedonia, come to help us to proclaim and live the gospel. Can we translate that call into the 21st century? And that imagining our diocese, our bishops, our church leaders saying, "Come, help us proclaim how we can go deeper into God, transform communities, make new disciples. Come." And the second "come" is in the story we've heard of Lydia, when Lydia said to Paul, "Come and stay in my house." And a newfound faith in Jesus echoed in her warm hospitality. At very best, Christian mission is about welcome. Not welcome because of what you can give or contribute, but welcome because of who you are. A human life made in God's image. Someone with whom God longs to have a deep and lasting relationship. How appropriate that week by week when children have been brought for baptism and the families join us for our service here. Was it last week? We had one such event, and all of us at the invitation say together, "We welcome you. We welcome you into Christ's family." And the third come was where Jesus is giving us a wonderful promise that if our desire is to love him in response to his love for us, then he will come and live in us, make his home in our hearts, daily living his love through us and guiding us into truth and changing the world around us. Let that simple word come echo in your heart and your life this day. There is another story in the Gospels in which Jesus promises to come into someone's life. For the benefit of anyone over 5 in this church, this story is captured in a children's song. I'm not going to sing it, you'll be pleased to know. Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Saviour came that way, he looked into the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, please come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea." So watch out.